When the melody's been written and the words have all been begged, and you hear the Spirit calling through some old sacred hymn in the valley of decision. Tell me, friend, what will you do? This life has many choices. Eternity has two. This world and all its pleasures will soon be passed away. Could be going out today. You're standing at the crossroad, and the Savior's calling you. This life has many choices. Eternity has two.
There's straight and narrow way leads to life, and the broad way down below.
What would it profit to gain the world and lose your very soul? Tomorrow is uncertain. Eternity has two. This life has many choices. Eternity has two.
This life has many choices. Eternity has two. What choice is yours? I made mine long ago, hallelujah. And regardless what Satan throws at you down the pike, you know you're in good hands because Jesus is the master of the universe. I've been teaching on the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. And when we watch what's going on in the Middle East, we know it's imminent. We're coming to the point where Russia, Iran, and Turkey are going to go at it. Israel is being attacked almost on a daily basis by Hamas and all those guys. Their government is upside down. The Americans are pulling out of the Middle East. So it's setting up a perfect time. So will it happen? The Bible says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up. Jesus is about to come back. We don't know the day or the hour. But there are some incredible things happening on this side of the planet, and then not only here, but all over the world, that we have never been aware of. Almost unbelievable stuff we're seeing on TV. And I'm going to share a little bit about what is happening in the average person on the planet. The Bible teaches us something. In the last days, there'll be gross darkness. That gross darkness doesn't mean the light from the sun. It means a darkness on the people. But there is one ray of good hope The children of God will not be in darkness. They will see the light. They will understand. They will know. Remember when Egypt was in gross darkness, a physical darkness, that they could feel and touch with their hands? You remember what happened to the Israelites in the land of Goshen? They had light. No problem. Their houses had light. This is a foreshadow of we, the children of God, what we're going to have in the end. Those who know Jesus, those who are born again by the Spirit of God, we will not be confused. We will have the light. And who is that light? It's Jesus. And he'll bring us through it. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened our hearts to the truth of Scripture. You have given us a look into the future so that we can stand in peace, knowing that where we're going. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to share something today that is written in the Word of God, and you can definitely see it all over. In Isaiah chapter 50, there's a verse in verse 20 and 21. Woe unto them that call good, that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We are seeing this all over the world today. Evil is good and good is evil. I remember when I became a Christian, God showed me the truth. And the religion I grew up in said, no, we have the truth. You have a lie. Good was exchanged for evil. Did those people mean, were they bad? No, they were trying to be good. But the deception was so great that they called good evil and evil good. And that happens with all religions. I kid you not. If you are in a religion that has 5% of something less than Jesus, you better check it out and get out of there. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I was listening to this guy on the internet, and he was explaining what's going on in the universities of today. Unbelievable darkness. Women are taking male hormone shots. They're growing beards like a man, not like somebody that has a facial hair, but they're growing beards like men and nursing babies and calling it good. Can you imagine the confusion that baby is growing up in? Can you imagine what's going on in those people's minds and hearts that accept that deception? They're listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. The Bible teaches us they will abstain, they will command to abstain from meat. Over the last year, it has been beyond meat. Have you seen the advertisements? All over, Beyond Meat. I never tried their burger or their Beyond Meat, but I don't know what it tastes like. And you see strange things happening. The transgender mothers are giving their young 4-year-old hormone shots to change their gender even before the kid even has a clue who he is or what he is. Because society, the pressures of the government are telling you, hey, you can choose whatever gender you are. I beg to differ. God created them what? Male and female. Male and female, he created them. He created them in his own image. And he breathed his breath into them. They're the image of God. What those people are doing is they're desperately trying to screw up the plan of God, but it's not going to work. They're calling good evil. They're calling sweet bitter. And they're calling, they're changing the boundaries. Look at same-sex marriage today. That's changing the boundaries. We look at these things and we just take them in stride because slowly we got used to it. 30 years ago, if they would have told you what was going to be today, you would have laughed. Like 40, 50, 60 years ago, 60 years ago, they were talking about evolution. I remember it in school. We laughed at the thought. But today, if you don't believe it, you're a hater, you're a bigot, you're anything but good in society. Can you imagine how they have changed the truth for a lie? And Satan is going to, it's going to be, get worse and worse. This is not going to stop. They're not going to stop at evil good and good evil. It's going to become more and more confusing. But the Bible teaches us that we, the children of God, have the light. We know what's right and what's wrong. This is why I say have a relationship with Jesus. Don't get too involved in the world because you can be caught. You can be sideswiped. You can be bushwhacked by Satan who'll hit you. And if you haven't got a relationship, if your spirit man isn't built up, you're going to simply disintegrate in front of that attack. Yes, you will be saved, but the damage will be awful. So get a relationship with God. Don't fool around with the trifles of this world because they're here today and gone tomorrow. And so can you be. The Bible teaches us something in 1 Thessalonians verse 5. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. They'll come to the end. There's going to come a time we see already the war starting at the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. After that, once, if you study it, the Muslim religion will be completely wiped out because most Muslim religions will be involved in that. And people will look on the planet and they will say, peace and safety. Because who is everybody afraid of these days? Who do they succumb to? Oh, we cannot speak against those people. They might blow us up. Let them blow us up. We are going to kingdom come into our kingdom. They're only going to blow up whatever God allows them to blow up. We do not cater to them because we are afraid of them. You feed an alligator not to appease him because eventually he's going to do what? He's going to eat you. This is how Satan works with his cohorts. You do not appease them. You tell them the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the only one, regardless how offended they are. But there is coming a time when they will say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. What is that destruction that is coming? It's called the Great Tribulation. It's a seven-year period of time here on this earth that the world has never seen. The Holocaust, they killed 50 million people in the Holocaust, 6 million Jews alone. All the horrors that went with it. Watch the documentary sometimes on TV. You watch these things and you ask yourself, can it get worse? Yes, it will get worse. The human being will annihilate himself to the point where God will say, if we don't come back, no flesh will be left. This is what's coming to this world. And people are building incredible monuments for themselves. They want to live forever. I want to get out of here. I want to be gone, because what's in store for this world is not very pretty. I don't even want to see it. Never mind live through it. Yes, we have preachers that teach us, oh, the church has to be cleansed. They have to be tried. They have to be tried with fire so they'll go through the tribulation. Is the blood of Jesus not clean enough that they have to be cleansed? Is the blood of Jesus not holy enough that they have to be tried? The blood of Jesus was put upon us. We were not bought with silver and gold, but in the fire of affliction, God bought our soul. He was afflicted for us. Terrible, fiery affliction. God wants us to remember that it's the blood of Jesus that makes us ready for the kingdom and not some tribulation. Oh, it might strengthen our character or it might destroy us. But as far as our soul is concerned, we can't do anything for it except accept the gift that God give us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us be watch and be sober. Don't get involved in too much worldly stuff. Be sober about the situation. God is not a spoiled sport. He doesn't mind when you have fun. He doesn't mind when you watch the gray cup. But if the gray cup is all that you ever think of, then you got a false God. You see, there's a happy medium there. He allows you to enjoy things. But remember, the most important thing is this. Let us not be asleep. We are seeing things coming over the horizon faster than we can report them. And one of these days, God is going to say, it is finished. It's time to put this to rest. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, listen to this one. For God has not appointed us to wrath. When you study this, it's not talking about your salvation. If you read it in context, it's talking about the great tribulation, where the fury of God will come up in his face and he'll pour out his wrath upon this planet at the God-haters that hate him with a passion. It's not that they don't believe that he exists. They hate him with a passion. Why? It is because their hearts are evil and they want to be their own God. It says, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. So he's telling us to comfort one another. This is what I'm trying to do here every Sunday. Comfort each other with the idea that we're in God's hands. We're not appointed unto wrath. He'll keep us from the evil. Yes, we'll go through tribulation. Yes, there's going to be death. Yes, there's going to be sickness. But through it all, we have this God we look up unto. I was in a hospital visiting an old man, not that old. Most of you know him here. And I asked him, how are you doing? He said, I wasn't worried one bit, Brother Dave. I wasn't worried one bit. He was at peace with himself, even though he almost went over the other line, over to the other side. He wasn't worried a bit. Now, that's what I call a God that comes through when you need him the most, that you don't even have one bit of worry of what's going to happen to you when you die. Do you have that peace? Do we have it? Do we know that we know that we belong to this God? It says we're not appointed unto wrath, but never mind that. How about if we die before the wrath comes, before Jesus takes us out? Are we ready for that incredible time when Jesus is going to say, come up hither, just like he did to John? He says we should comfort one another, edify one another, teach each other. Like in the days of Noah, God told Noah, I want you to prepare an ark. He gave him instructions how to build it, what to do with it. Why, Noah said, why do I need an ark? It never rained. Well, it's going to. So by faith, Noah built the ark. And when the rains came, the ark was ready and prepared, and he walked right into it. Perfect instructions. When Lot was in danger, God said, I'm going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to wipe them out. But before he wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah, he went to Lot and gave him instructions. What were the instructions? The instructions were this. Ask anybody who you're related to come with you. Let's get out of this city, because God is going to destroy it. He walked out of there. Even all of us who know the story know how it happened. His instructions were to get out of there. Jesus is coming back. The great tribulation is coming. The horrors that we're seeing here are already beginning. The demonic realm has been released. If you talk to the average person on the street that you don't even know, he has some demonic experience, and some of them physical demonic experiences. It's unbelievable what you hear already and what you see on TV. Demons aren't hiding anymore. They're right there in front of us, and they're out to steal, kill, and to destroy. So God is giving us instructions. Oh, you guys better put a lot of water in your basements, bottled water. You better get some organic food, pile it to the ceilings. You'll need it. It's 7 years. And then you make sure that you are very low key. Don't make too much noise so they don't know where you are. The Bible's destruction aren't those. The Bible teaches us this. When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Why? Because we're not appointed unto wrath. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? This is good preaching, Brother Dave. It's about time I got a good clap. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you need not that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. It's no use to try to speculate when will it come. All we can do is look at Israel, which is my time clock. I'm watching what's going on. I cannot predict when the rapture will be, but I can almost predict when the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war will be. It's starting to happen. Russia is there. They're building up bases. They've taken Crimea. Now they got a port where they come south by the boatloads full of soldiers. That technology they have is unbelievable. Israel is knocking rockets out of the sky left and right day after day. What's happening there? We're sitting here under a dome of God's protection. They are under God's protection also, but nobody pays attention. One day, God will strike the enemies of Israel to the point where the Bible teaches only a sixth of them will be left. It's going to be horrific. It says that day will come. We don't know what day, when Jesus will take us out of here. What day will that be? I've been praying for that day since I've become a Christian. I've been doing practice jumps up in the air. I still come down. But one day it'll happen. I want to show you how it'll happen. It's going to be happening very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 50. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Praise God for that. I've had an experience lately. You don't want flesh and blood there. It wouldn't fit. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Oh, that's going to be awesome. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be a nice-looking dude. You can bet your eyes. You can bet every last dollar on it. We're going to be looking good. The female is going to look superb. We are just going to be amazed as we look at one another on how God originally created us. We look in that mirror and say, is that really me? I can't believe it, God. Thank you, Jesus. But that's coming. Hallelujah. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we shall not all die. There are some of us that are going to be alive. But we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Not at the last trump of an angel. The angels have trumpets. There are seven trumpets. It's not talking about the last trump during the tribulation. It's talking about the last trump of God, when God will have his fill of believers. His last trump card. Here he is, coming to know the Lord. Watch everybody. This guy is being led to the Lord, and he's the last one on the list. Hallelujah. So lead people to the Lord. Hurry up. Let's bring those guys in. He's gonna come. Wait till he finishes his little verse there. He's gonna talk. He's gonna start honoring me. And when that happens, boom, it'll happen. It says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Are you born again? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? He's the only one that'll give you salvation. Never mind anything else. If you are focused on that, that's all God requires. It's your right hand of fellowship when it comes to salvation. And him being your God, that's all he wants. You recognizing him, that he is the God of the universe. It says, for this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Hallelujah. Once that happens, then death is defeated. We are going to live forever. We're never going to get old again. If you were 25 years old once, I got good news for you. You're going to be 25 years old again. It's coming. The beautiful hairstyles you had, the hair on your head, it's coming back. Don't worry. The muscles when you were in the gym, now they're kind of sagging. The miles you ran without getting tired, it's coming back hundredfold, thousandfold. We're going to be an awesome thing to look at. And guess what? It's God who created us, the God of the universe. Do we know that God today? For those of you listening by the internet, there is only one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what you do for Christ will last. And if you don't know this Jesus, you need to turn to him. For he's the only Savior for this planet. There is no other name given on earth whereby we must be saved. And when we turn to this God, all of heaven rejoices. God promises us an incredible future. Do I believe it? Oh, yes, I do. I believe it more now than I ever did. And I thank God that he brought me into this path. I am humbled No, I am humbled for what he did for me. Do I think myself a great preacher? Yes, I'm a pretty good preacher. But who gave me the breath? Who gave me the mouth? Who gave me all my senses to do what I'm doing? Can I have pride in that? The last couple of weeks I found out, no. There is no pride in what you have. What you have is by the grace of God. And let's keep it at that. Let's humble ourselves before him and rejoice in this great salvation he gave us. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter
more days.